Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tokyo has recorded its highest number of new daily ghost cases for 6 months.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanel here. It's great to be here on this night of nights. Tommy, you're looking beautiful. You're obviously preparing for your role in G.I. Jane 2.
Don't.
Hey. Hey. You get my rapidly aging reference to popular culture out of your fucking mouth.
The number of friends I've had say to me, like, ah, you're going to put a little reference to Will Smith and Chris Rock in the festival show? Like, not only am I not doing that, I think that anyone who does do that should have their comedy license revoked immediately. Honest to God.
Yeah, fuck.
It's hard to revoke someone's comedy license, though, because whenever you try to grab it, it's too slippery for you to grab and you look like an idiot.
Yeah. It's holding up your pants. You grab it from them and their pants
fall
down.
You lean in and the water comes out of the flower on their chest.
Yeah. Yeah. My name's Adam Knox.
Beautiful stuff. Hey, the Comedy Festival is underway. Come and check my show out. It's on now, Turtle Island, until April the 10th at the Cooper's Inn. Had a couple of filth in last night already.
Beautiful.
Thank you for coming down and checking it out. But yeah, having a lot of fun with that. And you guys, of course, have your show Chimp Cop, which is on at the Improv Conspiracy from April the 8th. Correct? Friday, April the 8th?
I think you might be right, yeah.
I'm so
Let
right.
Let me quickly... Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it's the 8th
now. Oh, my God, I'm right. Yeah. Because I'm in my calendar room.
if you've got tickets for one of those first three nights, A, thank you, and B, I have COVID.
Yes.
So, you know, I wanted to go ahead and cough on everyone. I thought it'd be funny, but... Not the opinion of the Morrison administration.
Yeah, the state was against it. We want to spread the laughs. We don't want to spread the COVID. But hey, there's still another 9 chances to see us with like a bunch of free available tickets. They're not all sold out yet. But you better get in quick because we are moving bookings around.
Yeah,
the tinfoil hatters amongst us are convinced that this is just a ploy and that you've actually cancelled that. Adam's not sick at all. You've cancelled the first weekend to give yourselves more time to rewrite the show to be entirely about Will Smith and Chris Rock.
That's why I've come on the podcast today with my very clearly COVID-riddled voice that I'm sure will be off-putting for one-third of this podcast.
You're a very convincing actor, Knox. You're a very convincing actor.
To show the quality of the new version of Chimp Cop that's all about Chris Rock getting hit at the Oscars.
JFK style, you're examining it from every conceivable angle. Mm-hmm. It goes for 3 hours, and I'm already hearing a lot of award buzz about this show that's
wow.
yet to be fully written or do one performance.
Yeah, well, award buzz now meaning that people want to hit us in the face.
Yeah. But yes, from not this coming weekend, but the next, and we're doing 3 weekends, it's... Damn, it's the most prepared we've been for a comedy festival in 7 years.
It's a good show.
It's a good ass
Please
show.
Please come.
Yeah.
I'm devastated that we won't be doing it this weekend. I'm very excited to be doing it next weekend.
Yep.
Yeah,
hopefully
I'm
we can get
forward to coming along. I can't
get
wait.
Get all those punters across to the other dates. And then probably we've had a few people say, oh, you know, we were just in town for that weekend, so we'll probably put it on again. I mean, we're already thinking about that because it is it is a sick show, so... There'll be chances to see imposter syndrome.
Who knows what the future holds, because you make the best plans and then unfortunately have to delay things when you didn't expect to. And if it can happen to us, it can happen to anybody, as has happened with Breath of the Wild, the Squeakquel, which still doesn't have a proper name and still, as people predicted, is not ready and will be coming out next year.
Yeah, Link's got COVID. They've had to cancel the release for this year. He's got long COVID. It's going to take him a long time to recover, so they need until 2023.
As you referred to him off air, Luke.
Yeah, I accidentally called him Luke.
I'd love to bring that into the Filthy Casuals glossary. The star of the Zelda series is called Luke.
Yeah. The main character's not Zelda. You don't play as Zelda. It's not Zelda. It's Luke. His name's Luke.
Honestly, he does kind of look like a Luke.
Yeah.
He's like, totally.
He's got that kind of like deadbeat surfer hair.
Yep.
He's got. I know there's lots of different types of Lukes, but I'm thinking of a very specific Luke who looks like Link.
Summer Bay energy. Big Summer Bay energy.
Exactly. Yeah. Every Luke I know looks like Link, to be fair, yeah.
Mm. Ben, just before when you were kind of, you were talking, you know, positively about like, you know, moving shows across and everything. You're sitting next to your bedroom window. Yeah. And I guess it got a bit sunny and brighter. And the effect, I've missed Zoom. The effect for on our end was that your window just got extremely white and washed out. And it was just like you talking about like, you know, moving the shows on and getting more prepared. It kind of looked like you yourself were moving on to a different plane of existence. It was a breathtaking visual effect and the kind that we can expect in spring 2023 when Breath of the Wild 2 finally launches. And
Which is a date I also don't believe in now. I kind of thought it was going to come out this year, and now that they've said no, I now think that it won't be spring 2023 either, and that this will be a while away, because that's what happened with Breath of the Wild 1, is they put it back by like several times and by a long, long stretch from memory.
Yeah. And if this isn't already the plan, I think what will end up happening is that it will be launched in conjunction, whether it's cross-gen or not, but it'll be launched in conjunction with whatever the next console is. I think
that's the other nightmare aspect to this change is that once again, that fucking coal engine that chuffs out smoke that spells out NX2 or whatever, the new version of the Switch will be launched alongside Breath of the Wild 2 is, again, what people are saying.
When did the OLED Switch come out? Was that late, mid last year?
October last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like 6 months ago.
Okay. What does that say with regards to another actual console coming out? Like, because they've done these iterations on all the handhelds.
Yeah.
Right.
The Wii didn't, but the Wii U, you know, many people thought was an iteration. What's the timeline like for this kind of stuff with Nintendo?
It's hard to say because especially with their handhelds, they'll bring out a new version willy-nilly.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Game Boy Micro came out after the DS had already launched, which was the tiny version of the Game Boy Advance. So, like, they don't give a fuck about it.
Did they kind of do it with the Wii? Wasn't there, like, a mini Wii or something? There was a slight...
There was, like, a weird, like, red Canadian Wii.
Yeah, there was, like, a redesigned Wii or something like that that I think was kind of, like, brought out right at the end of it to sort of give it a last little... It was, like, a kind of a budgety sort of last gasp little...
Right.
Sort of shift a few more extra before we move on to the next thing. So, I think their iterations of models mean basically next to nothing in terms of...
Right.
You know, the longevity and what they're planning in the future.
Especially if you believe the rumors of why the OLED Switch happened is that they'd ordered these OLED panels, weren't ready to put out the new Switch because of COVID and stuff like that. Imagine COVID setting something back. And then also had the stuff. So went, all right, we'll chuck this on here and get something new out the door and suckers like Adam and Tommy will pick it up.
Absolutely.
Okay. It does make sense that... So, if you were to release Breath of the Wild 2 now, it kind of looked like Breath of the Wild 1. Functionally, in terms of the graphical capabilities, it was like, well, it's the same game, same map even, just with stuff in the air. So, sure, pop that out on the current Switch and it'll be passable. But if they're like, oh, okay, no, we're going to drop a new Switch or, you know, a Switch 2 or a new console soonish, just hold fire.
Yeah.
On that old Breath of the Wild 2, bump it up a bit. It's going to look nicer and drop it with, yeah, Switch 2, Switch Pro or whatever it's going to be called. Yeah.
It
certainly worked out for the first game, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did on the Wii U and the Switch. So.
And it sold me a Switch. And people with Wii U's bought the game as well. So it was kind of a win-win.
I still feel like what we've seen of it and how the first game ran on the Switch, like from what we've seen of 2, I still don't really see how it's going to run on the Switch. Like, I'm still convinced that this is being designed with the next upgrade thing in mind. And maybe that's got something to do with the delays, either holding it off until the new model is announced and released, or it's just, if they are now having to make it work on this hardware, they're finding that harder to do than they initially thought, or whatever it is. But yeah, I think definitely, like, I wish they would just go all in and go, yep, it's coming out middle of next year, and so is our next console. It's going to launch with that. If they just, like, gave up the ghost all now, that would be great, because I think that that's surely what's going to end up happening. I think.
And that's the frustrating thing about how they work, is this, like, smoke and mirrors, like, no, we're never going to do a new Switch.
Right.
Yeah.
Just tell us what you're doing.
Hey, worst case scenario, they still don't have enough parts for a new Switch, and they're spending the next, when was it supposed to come out? End of this year?
It was still holiday 2022 was Breath of the Wild 2 originally.
They're going to spend 6 months cutting stuff out of the game so it can run on the normal Switch.
Yay.
That's also possible.
Every new Switch game makes me so aware of, you know, we're at that same point where the Wii was, where people were like, it looks good for a Wii game.
Yeah.
Because we've all played Kirby, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Kirby and do like a Nintendo half here and then do...
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's not bad at all.
That's a great idea. Like
7 years into doing this podcast. Yeah. Let's link the stories together.
Let's break it up by console. Okay. God, that almost seems so obvious. We should have been doing that from the start.
Fucking idiot.
Well, I'm glad that you've taken that idea and sucked it in.
Yes.
Yep.
And that idea would normally be a little hat for you. Mm-hmm. But this time around, that idea is a big, disgusting shape inside of you that you wrap your thin skin around.
But you've still got Kirby
doesn't seem to have any guts. He's just got thin skin that can wrap over anything. A little condom man.
Yeah,
little Connie boy. I think his guts are like magic, right? Because the guts convert people into powers. There's just magicness inside there. So when he stretches over a fucking vending machine, it's just magic.
It's funny, though.
Magic gut sounds like what Luke instead of Link would do to a woman he's sleeping with.
Yeah.
She has. You got magic guts, man.
Like, while he's in her, he's saying that, yeah.
Yeah.
But what's, like, the thing that's funny is, like, what's the X factor? Because there's, you know, a lot of the enemies in Kirby games, he sucks them in and he gets their powers.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a lot of them that he sucks them up and just nothing happens.
Right.
So, like, what's the X factor that someone has to have for their, like, their essence to be, like, conjurable for Kirby? Like, that would be devastating,
so
if you're like, oh, he's going to suck me up and he's going to turn into a big buff superstar. And then he's just like, nothing happens and Kirby just spits you out again.
His dick,
like, yuck.
His dick shrinks a few inches. Like, oh.
Kirby just like, what a fucking waste of my time. Yuck.
Just nothing. That would be so devastating.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I'm medium at retail now. Great. Yeah, the what's it called? Kirby
and the Forgotten Land.
And the Forgotten Land, that's it. It is apparently the first actual 3D Kirby game they've put out, which I didn't realize.
Yeah. I guess I haven't played a lot of Kirby games. Yeah, right.
They've had ones that are presented in 3D, but in terms of 3D movement.
Oh, cool. All right. Yeah, I mean, it seems weird that it's taken them this long to do it, because I've been loving it. I've nearly finished it. Like, I've been working on my festival show during the day and then just getting into bed at night and unwinding with a bit of Kirby. It's very Moorish. It's very just kind of easy to plow through. And it's I'm just finding it so fun and creative and inventive and just a fun, kind of relaxing time. And I think a lot of the inventiveness and joy that I'm finding, and it comes from kind of what we're talking about. Like, Kirby, I think in his origins, the design of him, I think, is very, like, based on practicality of the hardware that they were working with. It's like, oh, just make him a little circle. Like, in the way that, you know, Mario's moustache is only there to distinguish the bottom half of his face, like it's a pixel kind of thing.
Pac-Man.
Yeah,
one
exactly.
of the other famous video game circles.
Circles, yeah. Yeah, so I like that his design is clearly like they weren't really thinking about it too much. It's like, oh, just make him a little circle because that's just kind of easy to see on the screen. And then now getting this far along and being like, but how does the circle really function? Like, what's,
yeah.
what's going on inside of him? Like, what if he had a car inside of him? I think is like really fun that they've just taken this thing that wasn't thought about too much however long ago it was, 35 years ago, and now like really, really experimenting with him and kind of, yeah, thinking of all the fun, different, stupid shit that you can do with him.
Mm. It's and it definitely does that. That's definitely the appealing aspect of this game is going through and seeing the silly stuff they think for you to do, because none of that stuff that you really do is ever challenging in this game, and like kind of deliberately so. It's not trying to be, but like it's just trying to present you with this like colorful and pleasant world where you get to see a bunch of silly things happen to Kirby.
Do you do satisfying, yeah. fun shit where you become a car and then you're breaking through walls or, yeah, you become a little movable set of stairs and you have to, like, collapse yourself over to, like, break down a wall and stuff like that. And, yeah, definitely the, like, the challenge in the game is, I think, more, this is a game where if you want challenge out of it, it is there, but in the way of exploration where your challenge is going to be trying to 100% it and go through the levels and find every little thing that is hidden in all like the nooks and crannies. That's where the challenge comes from. If you're someone who likes kind of, yeah, digging around and finding little hidden pathways and hidden walls and switches and stuff like that, which I do. Like, I think this is going to be one that I go back to and 100%. Like, I love looking for all that kind of little hidden bullshit in these kinds of 3D platformer games.
Same. I've been exactly the same, trying to do all that stuff, like, first time through a level. But some of you get, like, so you go through, it's a basic platformer, pretty straightforward, a lot like Mario 3D World, but, you know, you're playing as Kirby, who can suck up other people's powers, and that's how you fight the little enemies and stuff who are in the worlds. You go through, and there's some little boss at the end, and all that stuff is pretty straightforward, but then you have this kind of list of objectives that are all obscured to you the first time through the level. Usually, there'll be one that's like, save these hidden Waddle Dees, and they'll be behind some wall that you have to use a power to like light a fuse to blow up a bomb or whatever. And then there'll be other ones that are more obscure that are level dependent that are like, you know, say hello to a seagull.
Yeah.
And there's not an easy way to intuit that your first time through, but then as you finish the level, it'll reveal one of those hidden objectives.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can go back to it. And sometimes you can accidentally find them, like they're like some levels have ones where they're like tear down three wanted posters. There's little Kirby little wanted posters on a wall. And maybe you already did one by accident by like, you know, hitting a bad guy and then the thing falling down and it'll come up in the bottom of the screen and you go, oh, right, there's two more of them to find in this level. Cool. And and then parallel to that, you've got Kirby's little copy abilities that you can level up and upgrade to make them more powerful by doing these little challenge levels that are dotted around the world map that are basically these kind of self-contained little mini challenges that just focus on one of the little powers that you have. And you have maybe 2 minutes to get to the end, and they vary from little combat challenges to like a little puzzle maze that you have to work through, or like a little almost like racetrack thing that you have to make it to the end of. And they... When the game started, I kind of thought they were just this like kind of optional little, you know, challenge thing that doesn't matter too much. But they're really fun, and they are essential to upgrading the abilities that you get, which is such a fun part of the game, is like finding a little copy ability that you really like, going in and upgrading it, and then seeing how much more kind of like how much more damage and just chaos you can inflict by having it fully leveled up. That's a really fun element, I think, the little focused challenges that really get the best out of the uniqueness of all these different copy abilities that you have.
Yeah, I agree. It's like it is a lot like Mario 3D World with less of the platforming difficulty in there.
Yeah.
But the same sort of puzzle solving-y stuff and the same creativity the whole way through and the same appealing aesthetic and all of that, but just not trying to be mechanically physically difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like to convey how easy it is, so that the first world boss I beat by standing next to him and hitting attack until he died. Like, literally, I didn't move the character. Yeah. I didn't have to dodge. He just... And I was just using the bomb little ability, and he just died after about 30 seconds. And I'm playing it on hard mode as well.
Yeah. So. Right. Wild mode.
it couldn't be easier.
Yeah.
It's a kid's game. Like, honestly... It'd be a great game for like a 6, 7, 8 year old who will be challenged by it and will be like totally charmed by it as well. Cause it is like, it's very well designed. I love the like user interface stuff, all the animations, all of the, like, it's just charming. It's just like a nice game made by people who like really know how to make games well.
Yeah, the presentation and the design of it, like the level designs in terms of both just the layout and just the themes in the worlds are really interesting. They're not just going for like straight up, here's the beach, here's the snow level. There's like all these like really interesting little twists on like him being in a forgotten land. Like the quote unquote story is Kirby gets sucked into a black hole and wakes up in this weird world where he doesn't know where he is. And it's kind of got this weird sort of like post-apocalyptic Last of Us-y kind of feel.
It looks
like Nier
Automata.
Which I love, this like cutesy little pink puffball in this like kind of weirdly dark and ominous like scary wasteland is like... Mm. Yeah, it's a funny game. Like all the mouthful abilities that you get, you can tell they've gone, let's try and make someone laugh with the way Kirby animates, the way he walks when he's sucked up a vending machine, and there's just a lot of fun and creativity, and you're right, like it's totally a walk in the park, but that's kind of always been that's like kind of a benchmark of the series. I think Nintendo have this kind of like internal hierarchy of like their platformers and where they all kind of rank in terms of their difficulty, and I think Yoshi's, I think I saw this somewhere, like Yoshi's just below Kirby, I think. Maybe it's meant to be. The Yoshi games are meant to be the dead easiest in Kirby, or maybe they're parallel.
Right.
But yeah, it is. And you can play like a co-op mode where you have a second player. So it's like, it would be a great one to introduce a kid to a game for the first time where you can be kind of like taking the reins and they can just kind of walk around and help
totally.
You out.
Because like, I'm not like... Even though, yes, it is easy and you're not going to get satisfaction if you are just looking for mechanically difficult platforming, like this isn't Super Meat Boy or whatever, like that.
It's not even Mario.
No, yeah. Exactly. But all the little side objectives and stuff to do, it almost makes it the appeal or like the Moorishness of it for me into like that of an adventure game or something like that where you're looking for these little
hunting
hidden
around.
Bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And that has been... really satisfying and, again, not difficult, but relaxing and satisfying, which if something is relaxing and satisfying and you can't enjoy it, hey, what the fuck?
What are you, Jay Leno on the beach and then fucking leaving your holiday early?
let's just have an engine.
I am liking it, but just, it won't. If you come into it looking for what it is.
I mean, most of us are coming off the back of having sunk many, many hours into Elden Ring. So it's like a very funny thing to come along in this time frame. But if you've ever been interested in a Kirby in any way, I think it's, in terms of the Kirby games, I think it's maybe the best one that I've ever played. Like, I've played quite a few of them. I have like a deep nostalgia for the series because I had the original on the Game Boy and, you know, going right back to when I first started playing video games, and it really does feel cool. Like I said, it's crazy that this is the first time they've done like a true 3D one of these, because I think it just fits the world so well to have that different perspective. So
he's a sphere now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's just a nice time.
Yep.
Don't mind Kirby at all.
Recommend.
One star.
If you're tickled at all by it, then recommend.
Only thing I'm confused by with it is I don't get why he's got his little mate with the big ears who doesn't seem to do anything at any point and is just sort of there when you clear a level.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck are you taking part of this victory celebration for? You weren't anything to do with the success we've had today.
Because that's not the co-op character. The co-op character is just a Waddle Dee with a bandana.
Right. That little is Marcus maybe Phoenix Waddle Dee.
My one negative thing about it is that the two player co-op thing is that the second player plays as a little Waddle Dee who can't get any of the abilities, can't like suck people up and get the copy abilities. So it's a little bit of a shame that you're playing with a second player who maybe you're doing that to kind of introduce them to a game like this, and they like my girlfriend was like, oh, I love Kirby, and was playing with me, and she's like, why can't I do any of that stuff that you're doing? And I was like, oh, you take Kirby and I'll do the... It seems like a weird oversight to not have you both be able to get abilities and go around together doing the same game. It's a shame that it's not...
Maybe it breaks it, but then at that point, don't put it in or something. But that's a bit of a shame.
And from what I hear from people who finished the main game, I hear that the post-game stuff is fucking awesome. So I'm looking forward to getting up to that, whatever that is.
Cool. Well, speaking of cooperation,
yes,
the company PlayStation, a division of Sony,
yes,
is cooperating with a number of video game publishers to create their own version of, to create an additional extra features version of premium PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
That is in the realm of a Game Pass type of thing.
Yes. I guess so, right? Because it's got the most expensive one as like 700 games. So that's a lot of games.
It is.
But it's not quite Game Pass. It's essentially PlayStation Now and PlayStation Plus combined from what I've been able to read. Like, it's most of the titles on that, but they've only given you like 400 or 300 for the cheap subscription. And you get the full batch for the most expensive one. I don't know how much PlayStation Now cost, because I think it's available here, but it's just not something we use. Oh, it's not.
So that's
right.
The thing, yeah. And so in Australia, this is especially weird because we get, and other territories that are like Australia, so get. If you don't have access to PlayStation Now in your territory, you will get this other version of it. A fourth tier. Let me open the full thing and take us through here.
Because it is confusing. I sort of don't... Like, I get it in the sense that, there's... So there's one level that is... the broad strokes are, there's one level that's just a library of games, of PlayStation classics. Not a million miles away from the library that you get if you own a PS5, which is... Mm-hmm. Already a great library, and to me, kind of, it's like, well, everything's there that you would kind of want anyway.
Right, then, and that's like 20 games, but then this first tier is several hundred?
So, the first tier is the same as the one we've got now.
Right.
Oh, that's right, there is the PS5. Base tier of just, like, you play online games.
And they're reducing the number of monthly games you get as well, down to two for that. So, they are reducing the amount that you get for what you're paying currently.
Right. Because you get four, right? You get a couple PS4 ones, you get a couple PS5 ones, or like an indie one or a PSN one or whatever. But it's four.
I think
in
it's
total.
Like one PS5 and then two PS4s or something at the moment. But they're reducing that down to two monthly downloadable games. And that is the one that costs $80 for a year subscription in Australia.
Yep.
PlayStation Plus Extra is you get all of that stuff, and then you get those PS4 and PS5 games you were talking about. They are downloadable. You play them off of your machine. That's that one.
Yep.
I don't know how much that costs in Australia yet. And then PlayStation Plus Deluxe is the other one we'll get in Australia, which you get some PS1, 2, and PSP games that you can download and play on a PS5. I don't know if you can play them on a PS4.
Mm.
And you also get some, like, extra demos, like try before you buy stuff and stuff like that.
Right.
And that will cost roughly double the price.
Jesus.
There's another tier in other territories that aren't Australia, which is an even bigger library of the older games from PS1 and 2, but they're cloud based.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. And then you also get PS3 games that are cloud playable. But just because our internet fucking sucks here, and I guess they just don't have the infrastructure to do the PlayStation Now streaming stuff, they're just not offering that if it's not possible, which makes a lot of sense.
Which,
but everywhere where that does exist, you will get...
That makes sense in terms of not offering it here when our internet can't handle it. But what doesn't make sense to me is why base it in the cloud to begin with. Like, the whole kind of structure of this seems kind of... I don't know. It seems kind of needlessly confusing, especially when you've got this thing that already exists and you're trying to build that in, but then downscaling it. Like,
The only reason is it's just cheaper.
Yeah.
It's easier than to develop on console emulation of the PS3, and which I think would be very much possible, but you would have to do it on a game-by-game basis, probably. You can't just sort of, like... what's that word? You can't just throw the fucking kitchen sink at it like they do now by having a powerful computer there that you can stream through, which works out being cheaper than developing the downloadable versions. So,
and because, these already exist on PlayStation Now, what they're really doing is just rebranding something and repackaging. Yeah. They're not actually doing any like work in terms of development work, which that would be costly. And I don't know what Sony's, bottom line looks like, but... what this is really at the end of the day is a repackaging of existing services, it seems like.
Exactly. And, with the implication that they're adding a lot more to it and that PS5 games will be coming to it and all of that sort of stuff. But, yes, PlayStation Now allows you to play PS3 games on a big farm of PS3s or whatever that they've got somewhere.
Yep.
They're just rolling that into a new thing in a very confusing way with four different tiers globally. And then also, the other big difference between this and Game Pass is they've already said PS5 exclusives and Sony first-person party titles are not coming to it day one.
Yeah. It's still going to have to pay full price for those. That's not feasible for them. Yeah.
It's funny because the way it's all kind of being done, it doesn't feel like this organic kind of neat idea that they had where they were like, this is what we want to bring to consumers. Mm. It feels like a very begrudging, stop fucking asking us about our version of Game Pass. Fine, here it is.
Yeah.
Just have this. Shut up and leave us alone.
It's a lot closer to the Nintendo Switch Online one where there's these weird different tiers. It's all a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah.
It's a lot more in line with that than Game Pass. The big benefit of Game Pass being that it is expensive, and I think it's more expensive year to year if you're paying full price for it than the top tier of this is, but you're getting those new games day one, which if you don't buy two games a year because you have Game Pass, you've broken even.
I don't know. I think Sony would be loving that all the coverage is basically saying here's PlayStation's Game Pass, because it's not, but people might just sign up for it because they've heard, it is going in their favor despite it being a less... good service.
Or would that annoy them that there's just this immediate, you know what I mean? Because it literally is being talked about all right, they've finally gotten off their fucking asses and done their version of it. It's not being treated as this, new thing that they've cooked up. It really is being treated in the press as they would not have thought of this if, Xbox hadn't been doing it for many, many years now.
Which is completely true.
Yeah.
And to be clear, there's a ton of good PS1, 2, P, 3 games, 4, 5. No mention of Vita anywhere. Mm. So it's fucking sick that there's going to be more ways to play old games. I'm always in favor of that.
Yeah, yeah. And because there's not too much mention yet of exactly what will be on this apart from...
That's
true. I mean, if you don't already have that... That little pack that you get when you buy a PS5 of all the classics. I mean, that's obviously where you should... I mean, that's such a great incentive, I think, to... While there's still not a ton of exclusives on it, to get a PS5 if you never had a PS4. It's like, hey, you turn it on, you pay a little fee, and then you get all the bangers from the last generation.
Yeah.
Or certainly a great deal of them. But there's not much word yet on what will be included in that next tier up, the hundreds and hundreds, right?
They've said numbers. They've said something like 400 or 500 games. They've said hundreds and hundreds of games, but...
Yeah.
No word on what they are, but like, you know, you can guess. Yeah. I reckon fucking
Lego Batman.
Wipeout 2097 will yeah. be a PS1 game you can play. But so it's very cool that like there's more ways to play these games, but especially in Australia, it's just like it's a bit of a shame that who knows which of those games that we do even have access to the systems of
right.
will even be here, if that makes sense, the confusing way I've said it. It sucks that we won't get the PS3, and who knows which other games we'll miss out on because of that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bummer to be in 2022 and still be like, you know, feeling like you're 12 and reading about a game or a movie or something in a magazine that won't come out here for like another year. Like, really felt, yeah. there was like this kind of glory period where it felt like we were beyond that, and like everything just comes out day and date around the world, and like, oh man.
Yeah. What? We got PS5s. Like, that's, you know, it did really feel like, hey, if you get up early enough, you know, and yeah. even that is like a, you know, a compromise. You can be just as, you know, on the cutting edge as everyone else. And now it's like, no.
Right.
Yeah.
If you've got a good enough friend at a big W,
right.
you can get anything in this world.
Yeah.
The other thing is that people who are in territories where PS Now works, apparently it's fine, but also like the streaming quality is not great, but it's right. like responsive enough. So,
right.
and there's no word of upgrading any of that stuff that I've been able to see. So, you know, it's okay. And there are people for who this will make a ton of sense, where, like you say, Ben, if you're getting a PS5 and you've missed out on a ton of these games, then this is sick. This is a bunch of games for a lot cheaper than they would have cost to buy individually.
Right.
Like, yeah. That's cool. But yeah, the no day one exclusives thing is a big knock against it versus Game Pass.
Because Game Pass is not like cheap. Like, it's, and I only have the PC version, which is like $15 or something Australian, I think. And it's right. And even that is like, okay, well, I justify that by being like, I would have bought Halo. I would have bought, you know, Gears of War 5. So I'm evening that out. And yeah, for it to be, what is it, like 160 Australian potentially a year?
They haven't said Australian prices for any of the of this stuff, but they've said US prices, so it'll probably be around 160.
It just seems like a lot when, yes, you're not getting those day ones.
But again, this yeah. is where, you know, at the time that Xbox were launching this, they just still didn't quite have, we've talked for ages on this show about how they've just never quite had those exclusives that get people revved up in the same way. They've right. had some really good ones in the last few months, but previous to that, it was like, what are you getting into the Xbox ecosystem for that's really exciting that you can't get on any other consoles? Whereas Sony are just like, you know, they've
Sony
had
has
so
too
much
many.
Success
yeah.
and they're like, they're really zeroing in. So for them, it's like, yeah, they're our, like, why would we give them away for free? They're our big marquee content. Like, I don't think yeah. you'll, yeah, I just don't think they'll ever really have the need to do that, to kind of like entice yeah. people in that way, because they...
It's like yeah. how Disney Plus was like, oh, we'll put Black Widow up, but it's $30.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, they can do that because people want to pay for it. And also, old games are fun, and I love being able to play
yes.
old
yeah,
games.
Yeah, totally.
So that whole side of it, depending on the catalog and whatever, but it sounds big, is cool. But yes, this yeah. is very much their version of that Nintendo Switch Online, to my mind, rather than
yes.
Game Pass.
Yeah.
But the you know, part of why it's disappointing there won't be new games is because there's a ton of new games that come out on PlayStation systems that are very fun to play. One of those games for me has been Ghostwire Tokyo.
Have you had to go down to the shop and play
full
price for like a fucking idiot?
I paid $79 Australian and I got a bunch of iron-on patches with it.
Whoa.
I paid the same and I didn't get jack shit. A ballpark of the game, but you know.
Yeah. I don't know why I got that. I think it was a pre-order thing from JB Hi-Fi. But it came in
sometimes
a cardboard box.
They've got a ton of those sitting around and they're like, get this out of my fucking shop.
Yeah. I didn't know you'd been playing it, Nox. So this game is developed by Tango Games. I think that's the name.
Tango Gameworks.
That sounds right. They developed The Evil Within 1 and 2. And the director of this studio is Shinji Mikami, is that right?
I think it's still him, ex-Resident Evil guy.
Yeah. I'll double check, but I think I looked this up because I started playing this game and was like, it doesn't seem very scary. I thought this was by the guy who was like the co-Resident Evil guy. But yes, yeah,
I think it is. I saw Hideo shouting him out during the week.
Yeah. But yeah, he's still the executive producer of Tango Gameworks.
Hmm.
Yeah. So what do you think of it, Nox?
I am genuinely really enjoying it. I think it's a beautiful looking game that runs weirdly badly at some points if you're too high up on the PS5. But it's like this interesting, unique kind of first-person shooter set in a ghost-filled version of Shibuya in Tokyo, where you are... all the people have disappeared except for you, who is like inhabited by this other spirit who wants to take vengeance on some guy. And the story kind of unfolds from there. But you have these magical powers that you're building as you go through. And every magical power just equates to some different type of gun in a Quake game. Like, they're
absolutely
not,
yeah.
They're not too creative, but they're fun to use for me. And you're going through and kind of fighting these awkward ghosts in this Ubisoft-y kind of Far Cry version of downtown Tokyo. And I'm like, hold on.
He got very emotional.
Oh, just talk about Ghostwire makes me so sad I want to sneeze. Sneezing is one of the most beautiful depictions of emotion. Yeah, it's like just... clicking with me for whatever reason. I'm finding it
very addictive, kind of despite itself. So yeah, I think that's, yeah, it's an open world game. It very much is like sort of points you in a direction, though. There's like this fog that you kills you, so
right,
you're kind of kept to specific areas until you unlock those areas. You do that by like cleansing this shrine or a Tori gate, and expanding the amount of, yeah, the city you can explore. It looks fucking incredible. I'm playing it in, I think, like, which one is it? I think I was just playing in performance mode initially, and then I've bumped it up to some other one. But even in performance mode over quality mode, it looks so good. Like, yeah. It does look almost photorealistic in parts. Just the environment. You could look around and be like, oh, so we're doing like the Google Earth tour of Tokyo, huh? Like, oh, it's raining all the time, but this is still really cool. Like, it is incredibly detailed. The lighting is like impeccable. It just looks exactly like Shibuya.
It does. It's got like a ray tracing mode on the PC, which it's also out on. Yeah, I think you can get it running pretty well. But I think it also has pretty good art direction that I'm really liking too. All of the enemies are these like Japanese mythology versions of ghosts and stuff. So it's like headless school kids and that sort of thing, you know.
Yep.
Big women with scissors.
Slendermans with umbrellas.
Bunch of Slendermans. And then you get some not so Slendermans later on. And yeah. I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
A little bit of representation. Thank you.
They cop a few fireball blasts before they go down. Okay.
But just, like all the masks that the enemies are wearing, the design of everything just, I think the game is so, so great across the board. I really, really can't fault most of that other than it running a little bit weirdly badly if you're high up.
Right.
That's neither here nor there.
I would say if we were going to be rating this in a bunch of categories, like in the good old days of magazines, visuals, which would incorporate graphics and design, visuals might literally be 10 out of 10 for me. It looks like amazing. Because it's not just the enemies aren't just folklore based. It's also you have every like convenience store is now run by a floating cat. There's dogs everywhere, little Chiba dogs that are like... hey, come follow me and I'll show you a secret. Or you can just talk to them if you want to.
Yeah.
There's a tanuki hunt. you pick up little statues that, like, either you... I think they just, some of them are just collectibles. Some of them are part of subquests. You can pray to Jizo statues that give you increased stats in your... like your magical powers. But it's all... Yeah, it's all represented by beautifully designed and, like, graphically executed Japanese folklore stuff.
And then atmospherically, I think it all works really well. Like, the sound design is also great, where, like, these ghosts will have this weird kind of warped way of talking and all that sort of stuff. But then I think the voice acting is also really good. It's like defaults to Japanese being the voice language, which I left it on, and it is great.
Yep, agreed.
And the writing as well, I'm enjoying. I like the personalities of the sort of main characters, and the little quips and stuff they're doing out in the world have been a bit of fun and like not bother me. The story is not too complicated or detailed or whatever, but it's got enough character to it that I've been enjoying that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think the dialogue is great. I do find the story a little nothing. Like, I don't care about anyone. I'm still going through it because I'm enjoying the exploration factor. Kind of like with Kirby, it's like, well, I want to see every nook and cranny of this city. There's like, I know that there will be something cool to find. Even restoring your powers or getting more money, you just do a melee attack on like a floating, you know, oily car.
Like a corrupted object that's in the air.
That's all really satisfying because there's like a great little explosion effect, or like the coins appear in the air and like sucked into your whatever. Like, it all is really, really well executed and satisfying to do when it comes to exploration. Story-wise, I think, it's just a little, hey, you've woken up in a city where there's spirits now, go fight the bad guy. Like, it's pretty much that. And there's a bit of like, well, your character has his own motivation, your friend character has his own motivation, and it makes sense, but it's not breaking any new ground or even
breaking any ground. Like, let's go get the villain who is obviously bad.
Right. But I can set that aside because I reckon I played about 5 or 6 hours of this so far, which apparently is nearly the end. Which is a shame. But where the game is not passable, I would say, like, is a slog for me is the combat, because it's slow. It's slow paced. Like, there is a cooldown time when you just have a health item. And not just in terms of, there's a cooldown time from having another health item. There is also a cooldown time where your character, like, visually responds to getting healed and then can attack again of, like, 1 second. So it doesn't feel like, it's not very twitchy. It's not like a first-person shooter. It is, like, you don't even have to sprint a lot of the time. Like, it really is just sort of like walking around slowly, backing away from enemies and firing magic at them.
It is. And it's not far off the pace of like Resident Evil 4 or something like that. But I agree that the combat is like less interesting than that is, because the problem I've had with the combat is that it's just pretty easy. And like, you're kind of just whipping these bits of magic at people who you can easily dodge. And block, and so it's not been particularly engaging in that aspect, but I have kind of enjoyed it still, partly because like the triggers, you know, all feeding back and all the rumble and stuff and everything, just feeling, it feels nice to, so you shoot this magic at people or at the ghosts until you've exposed this like core they have, and then you can latch onto the core and that's what kills them, or you can just do a bit more damage to them and that kills them as well. But I found that really satisfying, and it's been good enough that to me it's like a Far Cry or something, where the combat isn't as, you know, option filled as something like that, but it's just sort of a part of what you have to do to go and explore, because I agree with you that the exploration stuff is the more interesting bit, but I'm not hating the combat. It's absolutely fine and isn't grating in any way, but it's also not a bit I look forward to. It's just kind of, it's a very medium, like, okay thing for me.
Because I started playing it on hard, and that was enough of a challenge. And then I got to a boss that I just couldn't beat the boss. And it's because for the way I play these kind of games, or have tended to, I'd like to sort of run around and dodge, or like the, you move a little slowly. You're not doing that. You're just sort of standing around. You're trying to do a perfect parry, essentially. Because when you play on hard and you use your shield, you still get heaps of damage done to you. So That was quite frustrating. So I put it back to normal, and now it has been, yeah, pretty much just like, okay, bang, 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 these guys are all out of the way. Took the boss, like, you know, a minute to beat or less, probably after I did that. So, yeah, it's become less of a chore in the sense that it's actually slowing me down, but it's right. more of a chore in that it's pretty repetitive at this point.
Yeah, I don't... Because, you know, you can kind of sneak up to people and stealth kill them before you're actually in a fight too. And the loop of stealth kill as many as you can. And then, oh, someone saw me. I'll dodge. You hit L1 at the right time and you parry an attack.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy timing. So you can do that with almost everything.
Yeah.
And then you'll fire a few of your spells or whatever back.
This sounds
it's pretty straightforward.
This sounds almost identical to Kirby, so I'll probably love it. Like, nice looking world to explore. Combat's, you know, it's there, but it's by the by. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Shit, man, I might even put it on easy because I do really love exploring the world. Like,
it's great.
I cannot emphasize enough. It's like if you took the Yakuza cities and increased the texture quality and the lighting to a next generation level. And put it in first person, like that is
this
vibe-y, really fun
ghost sort of stuff. Yeah, I've bought this. I haven't played it yet. I just probably next week I'll start it once my show is a bit more bedded in. But I've just kind of got it sitting there ready to go. And yeah, I got to be honest, when the first trailers for this, I was just not interested. I thought it looked kind of lame, just in the very like cut together kind of version of it. Didn't really interest me. But then since it's been out and seeing the reviews and hearing what it actually is, like, yeah, I've done a complete 180 on it. I did not get the impression that it was this open world exploring a real city from any of the trailers that the initial trailers that they'd cut together. Like, it's a completely different looking thing to what I thought it was that immediately made me just a million times more interested than what I'd seen of it in the lead up.
And it's weird that because... when I found out it's like this open world sort of thing, I've been, you know, pretty uninterested in the Far Cry style of game for a little while now. And this one's really got me. There's enough different stuff to go and find and do that I'm just really having a good time. And the world is just so interesting to look at that getting more excuses to go and look at different nooks and crannies of it is really, really enjoyable. And yeah, the combat is... neither here nor there, but for me at least, it isn't a detriment to the game. So, yeah, almost every bit of this I'm just kind of gelling with, which has been really nice.
Yeah.
I can't stop playing it. Is that like,
yeah.
There are bits that I... like, I wish... you also can't really remap the buttons. There's a weird thing where... well, you can to an extent, and I've done it to an extent, but, like, the interact button by default is L2. Like to pick up stuff, to talk to people, to open doors, but it's also the button to zoom in and focus an attack.
Yeah.
I've just never played a game where one of the triggers is the interact button, and then it leaves, like, the... I've swapped a bunch of stuff around, so, like, square is interact now... detective mode or, you know, supervision.
The ghost drop you do.
Yeah, I've put on, like, L3 and then I've just put sprint on, like, a D-pad button because you just so rarely sprint.
Right.
So I've mapped it around to be more intuitive, but fucking who puts the interact button on L2?
That bit hasn't bothered me because I do also quite like when you go and... do like a stealth kill on someone, how it vibrates the trigger as you're doing it, which has been really nice. But I knew there was one thing I was forgetting to say. The fucking sticks for me and like the look speed and all of that, I never have a problem with this generally in games, but they were fucking bad at the start. I really, really hated the way it felt to look around.
Yep.
So I had to spend a fair bit of time fucking with that. And you can go into the options and change acceleration and deceleration and speed and all that
sensitivity and all that stuff. Yeah, I had to do that as well. But it really did. It felt like a Unity based walking simulator made by someone who didn't care that the walking felt like shit.
Right, that you were playing on an old computer that fucking couldn't run it.
Like, yeah,
it was genuinely bad. The controls to start with on the PS5 at least. I don't know how it is on a mouse and keyboard, but like. It's worth changing that straight away if you play this, which, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons to play it.
Yeah,
that was that really bad.
It sounds cool. It's interesting though. Yeah, like this. A lot of the reviews I've seen kind of echo what you guys say. Like maybe 3/5 of it are like really top tier, like in a bunch of categories, like you were saying, Ben. And then it's just like, sounds like it's a bit of a shame that there's just these couple of elements that just kind of aren't quite there, because it could potentially be an all timer if they were a little more. Up to scratch.
It's kind of how I felt with, like, I played that first Evil Within and felt kind of similarly, where there were bits of it that were cool, but I just didn't really like it because it just didn't feel well tuned in some aspects to me. And this has been more appealing than that.
Right.
I've really enjoyed. I'm the same as you, where I just want to keep playing it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I want to go and do 100% of it, because it's just satisfying to... It is honestly genuinely really similar to Kirby.
Yeah, it is, for sure. I wonder if it's better on PC. I reckon a mouse and keyboard might help the combat, because like the auto-aim stuff, if anything, is a hindrance on the PS5 to me. Like, if I could move around like twice as fast... And move my camera around twice as fast, because it's all up 100%, then it probably would be a like really, really top tier game for me because of everything else about it. But and maybe either the settings are better on a PC, or you could get a mod, or you know, whatever, like you could make play faster.
I think the way the combat is, it would need so much retuning that it is just an element of this game that they've kind of, you know, is the weakest part of this game.
Right. Yeah.
But it's still pretty good.
Still, I'd still recommend it if it still sounds appealing to you, then I reckon give it a crack. But if you're like, well, no, I want to feel like I'm playing Doom 2016, not Doom Eternal, probably give it a miss.
And honestly, if it just is sort of visually appealing to you and aesthetically appealing, that is the best part of this game and might be enough to get you to be interested. You know, like I think that part is just so well done and so cool to look at that it's been a real good time.
Yeah, maybe if you're fucking walking around a ghost Shibuya at like incredible levels of visuals, and you're not someone who wants a challenge, just go into it by like put it on easy mode, fix the controls up, and you'll probably have a good time.
Yeah.
It was so weird to recognize a specific part of Shibuya Station because of Persona 5.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just, whatever it is about this game clicked me into like, oh, cool, I'm a Japanophile now. Yeah.
Welcome.
Full otaku.
Welcome, brother.
Yeah, because I recognize stuff from having been there. It was cool. It was not like, you know, Shibuya Crossing, but like other entrances to big complexes and stuff. Like, oh, fuck, man. I've been here. And now there's all the ghosts like I wished there were.
I've actually seen a ghost in real life too, so I recognize that.
Ben, were you able to locate the Hooters that you and I went to lunch for on the first day we were
together? Yeah. I think I literally did walk up that street. I don't. It's all the businesses, obviously, you know, they're genericized. But I literally have, recognized places that we've walked to.
Sick. All right. Well, I guess that is going to do us for this week on Filthy Casuals. Thank you for listening. Come and check out our shows at the Comedy Festival if you are in Melbourne. My show, Tommy Dasilo, Turtle Island, and you boys, Chimp Cop, Imposter Syndrome. Get on the Comedy Festival website, comedyfestival.com.au, for tickets to those. Filthycasuals.com.au for all of our stuff that we have going on. We got the Patreon. You can get a bonus episode every week. You get early access to the videos that we do. And, check out the YouTube channel, even if you're not on the Patreon. There's tons and tons and tons of videos up on there. We got Let's Plays. We got little one-offs. We got little theme videos that we do. There's hours and hours of content there for you if that's the kind of thing that you are looking for. We got the Bandcamp, where we do the premium episodes, where we focus in on a franchise or a developer or a theme. With the most recent one is all the Star Wars games.
Adam, you can take a re-listen to 10 games to play if you were hypothetically not allowed to leave the house.
That's how I'm going to spend this time.
Yeah.
Re-listening,
you can listen to my opinions on it and go like, oh, fuck, I was wrong about that. What the fuck?
Yeah, you can vet it. You can make sure.
Update.
But,
Why would I have said that?
All right, guys. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
sorry about how I sounded during this episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.